Hi, this is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Church Conroe. Welcome to our Sunday worship podcast. It's good to talk with you. This is the sixth week that we will not be in worship together physically. And that is really getting on my nerves. I know it is with you too. Some of you may have heard that the governor has and the leadership of the state has deemed that worship is an essential thing and that we can come back to worship together under certain circumstances. I've talked with some of the leadership of our church about those circumstances, and we just don't see any way that we could possibly meet the criteria for getting back to worship together at this time. But I hope it won't be too long. For instance, one of the criteria is they are suggesting no one over 65 should be going to worship in a group. Well, I'm way over 65, and if I look around and worship, a good many of y'all are too. So if it were worship for all those under 65, about two-thirds of our congregation would be eliminated. So we will continue this as long as we need to. Know that Mary Louise and I miss being with y'all mightily. I would invite you now to place ourselves in the mood for worship.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Our call to worship this morning is adapted from Psalm 116. And your response will be, "Let us call on the name of the Lord." We'll begin. Come, let's share our love for God who hears us. Let us call on the name of the Lord. God leans in to hear our pleas. Together, let us offer our hearts and minds. Separated in place, but together in spirit, let us call upon the name of the Lord. Mighty God, you bring life out of death and joy from our sorrow. In this Easter season, we rejoice in the assurance of your presence with us, even when we're separated from one another as we are now. Let us offer to you the best of our lives in grateful affirmation of the gifts that you pour out upon us. Focus us on you alone during this worship hour. Amen. In this season of pandemic with anxiety skyrocketing, it's important for us to step back and take a deep breath every once in a while. Step back with me in history just a moment. Peter, Jesus' disciple, was preaching in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The crowds who had gathered were astonished at what they were hearing, that God had made Jesus, whom the crowds had crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The word is Christ, Christos in Greek. The crowd then asked, "What should we do?" And Peter answered them. Later in this sermon, that will be the theme for my sermon coming out of Matthew. I guess the title of this sermon would be, "When All Else Fails, Follow the Directions." I would ask you to take just a moment, listen to some music, to put yourselves in an attitude of prayer.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I seek the path to righteousness by the still waters. He's calling to me, the Lord of my salvation. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in the still of the night, I fear no evil. His goodness and His mercy shall follow my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, restores my soul. His rod and staff, they comfort me. Follow His voice to pastures of green. The Lord of my salvation. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in the still of the night, I fear no evil. His goodness and His mercy shall follow my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Jesus, come walk with me. Prepare a table with my enemies. My soul is anointed with oil by your grace. My cup runneth over with. Still of the night, I fear no evil. His goodness and His mercy shall follow my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in the still of the night, I fear no evil. goodness and his mercy shall follow my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
Gracious God, we come before you. We acknowledge our incompleteness without you in our lives. We acknowledge our brokenness unless you are there to heal and mend us. We come before you grateful for the gifts that you pour out upon us. We are mindful of those things that we have left undone. Give us the strength and the grace to do what we need to do to come closer to you and closer to the lives that you would have us live. Bless us now as we take just a moment to lift up to you those who are on our hearts this day. Oh God, we continue our prayers in the way that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's take some time in our worship today to both bring our gifts to God. I'm proud that I've learned how to work the website so that I can actually give online now. Mary Louise and I have been doing that lately. Also, we want to acknowledge God's good gifts to us, the gift of communion. So if you want to gather your communion materials together, now would be a good time to do it. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf once again. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same way, after the Passover meal, he took the cup once again, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was a new covenant, a covenant that would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers celebrating his words, This do in remembrance of me. Let us pray. For these holy gifts, we are grateful, O God. Bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies, and bless us to your considered love for Christ's sake. Amen.
All the colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out to find where love begins. Every word of every star in every sky, I'll be a witness in the silences when words are not enough. With every breath I take, I will give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love. From the mountains to the valleys, from the rivers to the sea. Every hand that reaches out, every hand that reaches out to offer peace, every sinful act of mercy, every step to kingdom come, all the hope in every heart will see what love has done. I'll be a witness in the silences when words are not enough. With every breath I take, I will give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify. I will testify to love.
For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love.
I'll be a witness in the silences when words are not enough. With every breath I take, I will give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love.
For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love.
I'll be a witness in the silences when words are not enough. With every breath I take, I will give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify. With every breath I take, I will give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love.
Our scripture lesson this morning is out of the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to be reading from the 28th chapter, the 16th and following verses. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." All four Gospels tell of the resurrection of Jesus, but you know, only two tell of his birth. There are all different tellings of the narrative, but they all have commonalities in their telling of his resurrection. As we've noted, the women were always first to go to the tomb. Even after the news of the resurrection, some doubted, and this is noted in all of the Gospels. They worshipped him, but some doubted, it said. Question, is doubt a sin? I don't believe so. I believe that doubt is a characteristic of being human. In one of the stories, Jesus is asked to heal a young boy, and his father is asked to believe. And his father's answer to Jesus was, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." What is the outcome of doubt anyway? What is the outcome? Your doubt is so strong, maybe, that your belief is changed. Maybe your doubt will lead you to a new understanding that you didn't have to start with. Or your doubt can cause self-examination, and your own faith is strengthened. After wrestling with your doubt, you realize that you were right all along. For you see, faith is believing without having all the facts in. Remember last week when I talked about those within our lives who inform and strengthen our faith. That's the way it's been from the get-go, I think. The first century believers wrote down their stories. We call those stories the New Testament. And their testimony strengthened the faith of those who were to come on and on and on through history. In my newsletter article this week, I shared the story of a young woman, Rachel Held Evans, who has strengthened my faith through her writing. She passed away after being suddenly taken ill less than a year ago and left her husband and two small children. We will indeed miss her voice. Read my Chalice column for a snippet of her wisdom, but she has informed mine and countless others' faith. Who has influenced your faith journey? Have you had doubts that have been reconciled? They've either been set aside or they've been worked through? Doubt, my friends, is a part of everyone's faith journey. And then Jesus gave them the last word, his final instructions, if you will. You know, I've told you about my grandmother, Mom, who raised me. When I was about to leave the house, she would call to me and say, "And one more thing." I know then that I better pay close attention. I did not want to let Mom down or disobey. Not out of fear, but out of love. So when she told me one more thing, I paid extra close attention. And that's what Jesus did to his disciples. He told them one more thing before he left them. The first thing he said was to go. Go. Take action. Go and tell. And in today's world, we're finding out that includes the internet. As a church, we're going to have to learn to go and tell in new ways if we are to take the message of Jesus fully into the world in this century. Then he told them to make disciples of everyone. And that meant regardless of race or creed or color or nation, all God's children. But here's a question, and it's one that I have struggled with in the past. What about people of different faith traditions? Is it our job to convert them? Should I be trying to convince Jews and Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and Baha'is and et cetera, to leave their faith and to join the winning team, Jesus' team? Is that my job? I don't know. That's where I'm having some doubt even today. I think it might be our job to honor others' faith tradition and just to live out our own. Then he told them to baptize, bring into the fold, build a church. That is what we are doing here. We are building a church in which we will include the other directions of Jesus. And one of them is to teach. Teach about what? Are we to teach all the details? I think our teaching should revolve around one lesson. Love each other as I have loved you, he told us. That is what our teaching needs to be mostly about. And then his last word to them. I will be with you till the close of the age. You know, there is good news, and then there is the best news. I will be with you till the close of the age, he told them. That is the miracle of the ever-present Christ. I do not begin to understand this spiritual reality, but my faith tells me that I am never truly alone. Even in this time of social distancing, when we feel cut off from each other, we are never truly alone. Even in the darkest night, when fear creeps in, we are never alone. Even in the greatest tragedies of life, when death knocks at the door, we are not alone. Even in those times, and everyone has them, of self-doubt, when I do not feel adequate to the task. Have you ever felt that way? Don't lie to me now. We all feel that way from time to time. And in that time of self-doubt, we are not alone. Even when disappointment casts its shadow over the day, we are not alone. At all of those critical junctures in our lives, we need more than okay news, more than merely good news. We need the best news. Jesus told us, "Lo, I am with you till the close of the age." Amen.
To me.